All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and it has been a while, hasn't it? We're doing the Grim Articles show. I know, right? And Dead Penetration is here.
What's up?
Just a brief, let me go ahead and just be frank with you. I'm not taking my heartburn medicine because it caused me confusion, which some of you may have noticed from some of my videos. I couldn't remember a lot of shit, and it's been known. You can look on Reddit. It causes confusion and weight gain. I don't like weight gain. I'm a skinny guy, and gaining all that weight, especially in my belly, was like, where the fuck's all this weight coming from? I'm not even eating anything. And, so I'm not taking that anymore. I'm taking something that I'm not talking about because I don't want everybody in the world buying it, so then there's not enough for me. No, I'm serious. It's some stuff I got off Amazon. It's natural, it's new, and it seems to be working. Two a day, and my fucking stomach is actually working the way it's supposed to now. Surprising, right? It's all about your digestive. If your digestive system's messed up, you're going to have acid, all that crap. So, anyway, I'm getting better, hopefully, and we're getting ready to go ahead and give you some articles.
Oh, yeah.
Full articles, no banter. Let's go.
No banter.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and go way back.
Unless you want banter.
We're going way back. Okay, some of these are going to be a little old, but that's okay. Okay, damn, how far back are we going? Alright. Oh, wow. You guys really loaded me up. Wow.
Filled you to the brim.
Holy shit. I've got shit in here from June the 3rd. Rune Factory 5. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. We definitely need to talk about that.
Alright.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, we talked about the Skullgirls thing. I know we talked about the Skullgirls thing, the NRA conference. We talked about the reactive chemical. We talked about the trolling of Amber Heard. We talked about the IRQ. We talked about the abortion pill in Japan. We talked about the Ukrainian girl Dubai porta potty. Did we talk about the woman that's attracted to the toy Boeing, the plane, the airplane? I think we did.
Maybe.
Snap spectacles, we did talk about those. Rune Factory 5 has some bugs, possibly due to Western-implemented same-sex relationships. Now listen to this. This is a game. I have a couple of the games on the Wii. Yeah, I know that goes back, but I have both Rune Factory games on the Wii. One is Frontier, and I can't remember what the other one is. But Rune Factory 5 is the newest one. Despite the abundance of awful bugs and glitches occupying Rune Factory 5, it has recently learned that those bugs may in part have been due to the same-sex relationships that the localization team implemented into the Western version of the game, later being included in the Japanese version as well. The bugs and inconsistencies arose in the localization process where individuals on the Western dev team decided to alter the game and demanded that the original creators capitulate to their own changes. Now that is some fucking bullshit. That's people over here from the West saying, oh, we demand you people in Japan also do what we ask over here in our country. That is fucking stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Decided to alter the game and demand original... Okay, as they admit in their own blog post. We had asked for same-sex marriage to be included in the game as early as 2018 and felt optimistic after it appeared in Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town. We asked our main liaison with the development team, Marvelous's localization department in Japan, to check their plans for same-sex marriage. They confirmed it was not planned for Rune Factory 5, but they would ask about the possibility of adding it. That usually means fuck you in Japan. They'll say, that's not something we're interested in, but we will ask about it. That's a nice way of saying fuck you. At the same time, Marvelous localization team laid some ground rules for its implementation to make sure the players would have the same experience, regardless of which character they pursued. The localization team had essentially wrest control of game development, altering in-game dialogue and models, and ultimately leading to the creation of all the aforementioned bugs and glitches. So what happened is you're buying a game that has been localized to add all this gay stuff that you didn't ask for.
Yeah.
Now, you know what burns me up more than anything? Getting a Japanese game with Western political fucking bullshit that has absolutely nothing to do with Japan.
Yeah.
That's not why I buy Japanese games. You see this game here? Ease. Great fucking game. Memories in Calcetta. You know what it doesn't have? Western fucking political bullshit.
They're so...
Okay. Examples of the localization process dragging down the game quality and creating inconsistencies in dialogue. There's several instances where they've just fucked everything off. Two of the localizers responsible for the bugs and diminished Metacritic score took pride in their work and joy in seeing their paying customers irate with their unnecessary changes and destruction of a beloved IP. Was thinking FOMO, FOMO, I forgot what that meant, thinking I've been left out of the shitty localizers list, but it's okay. I got some secondhand hate for RF5, a game whose location has not ever been released. Localization has never even been released. I'm delighted to announce that I worked as an editor on Rune Factory 5. I leveraged what learned editing SOSFOMT to write more authentic, sincere, sane, gender romantic dialogue, and of course peppered my portion of the script with japes aplenty. Pictured me and my husband, Akamo. Okay. Well, that is done. Monkeypox, skipping that. Okay, we talked about that. OnlyFans models, I'm working harder than ever. Feeling pinch. They're feeling the pinch of the inflation. Sex workers and online performers have seen their incomes drop as a sluggish economy has taken toll on the industry. The purging economy has been hard on one particular sector. Sex workers who say that decades-high inflation has forced their clients to cut back on discretionary spending. Allie Ray, 38-year-old Massachusetts woman who left an 84,000-year nursing job to earn a monthly six-figure income on OnlyFans, told that she was... we talked about her already. Because we talked about pictures of her. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember it.
Okay, here's one, June 6th. Guardian. Actors call for better on-screen representation of women over 45. Open letter signed by more than 100 actors and public figures urges end to entertainment industry's entrenched ageism.
Huh. Well, I'll tell you now, there are a lot prettier women over 40 than there used to be. I think that has a lot to do with the health craze, people taking care of themselves.
True.
Tanning getting as big as it used to be.
Right.
And so people aren't looking like leather gloves into their 40s.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of reasons.
Actors, including Juliet Stevenson, Mira Sile, and David Tennant, Doctor Who, and Zaw Austin have called for better on-screen representation of women older than 45 to fight against the entrenched ageism of the entertainment industry. In an open letter signed by more than 100 actors and public figures, the Acting Your Age campaign, AYAC, called for equal representation in the UK between men and women over 45 and urged immediate action on a parity pledge. Today's in-demand young actress is tomorrow's unemployed middle-aged actress, it said, adding, "We are fighting to ensure that our generation of excluded women is the last generation of excluded women." Women in the UK only have a shelf life on screen, while their male colleagues have a whole life, it claims. Also among the signatories are Keely Hawes, Leslie Manville, Richard E. Grant, Sanjeev Bhaskar, and the campaign's founder, Nikki Clark. Ageism targeting women is an entrenched industry staple that is outdated, harmful, and neglects millions of audience members who appreciate seeing women over 45 tell the stories of our lives, the letter states. The group, which was founded 4 years ago, laid out multiple recommendations for broadcast and production company commissioners, as well as news and current affairs. Among the recommendations are that all on-screen fictional content and light entertainment programs with male and female leads and presenters should have 50-50 and equal gender and age representation. It also calls for writer-performer dramas and comedy commissioning for feature 50-50 age and gender parity in programming, and for all broadcaster diversity initiatives to incorporate age. In news, it says presenters of documentaries should be represented equally with 50-50 gender initiatives to include age parity between women and men who are 45 plus. It also calls for age parity in political panels, discussions, news packages, and studio guests. A panel of only middle-aged men and young women is dated and unrepresentative, it states. Additionally, it states that news pieces on women's physical and mental health and violence against women shouldn't have exclusive bias towards young women, while celebrity and entertainment news should feature women and men over 45 equally and use recent photographs. This isn't an attack on artistic freedom, the letter states. This is highlighting that too often, excluding older women is enabled through the cloak of artistic choices. I don't know about all that. Now, listen to this. A man in India divorced his wife for cooking him instant noodles every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, judge says.
Well, that seems reasonable.
A judge in India said a man divorced his wife for cooking him instant noodles every day. Let's give this man a clap. This is worthy of applause right here. I don't care if they can. You should not be eating.
So you'd rather go hungry than have one good meal.
Would rather go hungry than eat noodles every day for the rest of his fucking life.
I mean,
the man would rather go hungry. He'd rather eat the damn dirt. He'd rather go outside and eat grass than noodles every single fucking day.
Yeah. Now, I'm no rich man, but I can afford more than noodles. And if my wife said, this is all you're getting, and then meanwhile she's out spending on who knows what, then I'd be like, no, we're done. And, I understand that.
M.U. Raghunath, a principal district and sessions court judge, recounted the case on May 27th at a press conference at a court in Mysuru, a city in the southwestern region of India, the New Indian Express reported. Raghunath told the outlet he was a district judge in Bellary when he attended to what was called the Maggie case. He did not provide information on the date of the case or the names of the couple involved. Insider was not able to independently verify the case. The man said his wife would buy packets of Maggie noodles, a brand of instant noodles, and serve them to him for breakfast, lunch, and dinner throughout their marriage, Raghunath said at the press conference, according to the news outlet. Eventually, the couple divorced with mutual consent, the judge said. Under India's Special Marriage Act of 1954, divorce by mutual consent requires both parties to live separately for 1 year and agree to dissolve the marriage. A 2018 study by the International Journal of Management, Technology, and Social Scientists found India recorded a divorce rate of 11%. The same study found the U.S. recorded a 50% divorce rate.
Yeah, there's a flip of the coin in the U.S.
While India's divorce rate is low, Raghunath said more married... I'm making him sound like a fucking end boss of a dungeon. Raghunath. Said more married couples have been trying to call it quits in the past few years. Divorce cases are increasing drastically over the years, Raghunath said at the press conference, according to the New Indian Express. Couples have to stay together for at least a year before seeking divorce. If there was no such law, there would be divorce petitions filed directly from wedding halls. I'll bet.
You know, it sounds like that was our plan all along.
Well, listen to this. A 2018 study found that 40% of marriages in Mumbai and Delhi might end a divorce. The photo does not show the couple involved in the case. 40%. They did a study that's saying that they're damn near where we're at as far as marriage is concerned. No, Mumbai and Delhi, India. Those are some of the biggest parts of India. Yeah. The judge added that divorces were more prevalent in urban than in rural villages.
Yeah.
In rural areas, village panchayats, intervene and settle the problems. Women have no independence and their fear of society and family sentiments force them to cope with the situation. But in cities, women are educated and financially independent. So if women are not educated and financially independent, they tend to stay married longer.
I wonder why. Arranged marriages usually last longer than...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or at least they used to. I don't know if they still are.
He said at the press conference, according to the New Indian Express, Shubhra Mitra, a professor at Tata Institute of Social Sciences in Mumbai, told the Hindustan Times last year that increased expectations were one of the reasons for increase in divorce cases in India. Women in India are becoming more career-oriented, but many men still expect their wives to fulfill traditional roles, Mitra said. So women bear a double brunt by working as an earning member of the family and at the same time also taking care of the household chores, Mitra told the Hindustan Times. Well, I mean, you gotta pick one of the other ladies. You're either going to be the wife or you're going to be the damn husband. You're going to work or you're going to be the caretaker. That's how it's supposed to fucking work, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I'd say nowadays both members can be caretakers.
Yeah.
Or both. Actually, both members can be breadwinners and still. Shoot, I don't mind eating out every once in a while.
Right.
If it means we're going to be above water financially.
That's true. Every goddamn day. Why restrict child porn but not guns?
Because child porn has...
Hold on. No, listen. This is a blog, by the way. God bless free speech. It is what allows columnists or anybody else to write whatever we want without fear the government is going to haul us off to jail. In Russia, you can go to prison for calling their war against Ukraine a war. In China, you can get sent to camp for adhering to certain religions. Free speech is so important in the United States, it's the First Amendment to our Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech. Not only am I allowed to air the truth as I see it, Donald Trump is a traitor who should be in prison, but all sorts of salacious material are permitted. Courts decided grudgingly that offensive artworks and obscene comedy sketches and extreme pornographic videos are also free speech and cannot be banned. There are, of course, exceptions. Free speech doesn't permit you to shout fire in a crowded theater. I didn't just grab that example by accident. During World War I, a pacifist was arrested for distributing a leaflet claiming the draft was unconstitutional. And upholding his conviction in 1919 in Sheck versus the United States, Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, "The most stringent protection of free speech would not protect a man in falsely shouting fire in a theater and causing a panic. The question in every case is whether the words create a clear and present danger that Congress has a right to prevent." A half century later, the Supreme Court decided we are a great enough nation that our freedoms extend even resisting war we are currently fighting, and Schneck was dialed back. Now, to be illegal, speech usually must be libelous or promote imminent lawless action. You are not free to deliver a speech urging your neighbors to kill someone. Nor can you own child pornography, and it's important to understand why. Child pornography is among the most restricted material in our society. You don't have to produce it or sell it to commit a crime. It's a crime simply to possess it. Why does child pornography merit such a unique level of suppression? I'll give you a hint. It's called child pornography. Children cannot consent to sexual adults. Children cannot consent to sexual acts with adults and are severely damaged by being forced to do so. Absolutely. Child pornography hurts children, so we fight it with all the legal might our nation can bring to bear, even if it infringes on fundamental freedoms. Okay. Now, here we go. We've got an article here from Yahoo. It says, "Why Sydney Sweeney's micro mini outfit feels like a threat to body positivity. So coveted, yet unachievable." Sydney Sweeney had her, I don't know who this is, by the way, had her toned midriff on full display at the MTV Movie and TV Awards, where she wore a micro mini skirt paired with a super cropped collared top by Miu Miu. Here is the picture of her there.
Who is that?
Sydney Sweeney.
I don't know who that is either.
While the low-rise trend has already been seeing a resurgence, the red carpet moment is triggering a response from people who'd like to leave it in the past. "What in the early 2000s is this?" someone commented to a video posted to What to Wear of the actress showing off her pink ensemble made complete with rhinestone and buckled details on the skirt. Another wrote, "Not me thinking this was a throwback post." Many liken the Euphoria star, that's where she's from, to Tara Reid. Oh, well, look at this. She was at the MTV Movie Awards, and she's in Euphoria. You know what that means?
Okay,
Euphoria was directly... Well, yeah, but that means that Euphoria was directly targeted to teenagers.
Well, yeah. That's no...
Well, it's sacred. Not something you would expect teenagers to... I mean, how adulterated would you consider... I mean...
It's very exploitive to...
Do you think that teenagers that are very impressionable... might think some of the things in the show are cool and might decide to do them. That's probably not a good idea.
Stuff in that show they wouldn't put in regular adult TV series.
Wow.
Like a lot of showing dicks and...
Oh, my God.
I think shows vaginas in there. But it shows and tits and ass and...
And it's being marketed to kids. Well, yeah. Teenagers. Sex. Teenagers, tweens. Jesus, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You think... Is it more... Is it more hardcore than the softcore films we used to... sneak by, you know, in the 90s, the little softcore? Is it crazier than that? Remember the softcore Cinemax After Dark and all that kind of...
Oh, yeah.
So you would say that's way worse?
I mean, it's not...
I mean, is there full...
of softcore porn in it, but it's enough... I wouldn't let my kids watch it.
Okay.
If I had any somewhere out there.
Many liken to the Euphoria star to Tara Reid, Paris Hilton, and Elle McPherson, who have worn similarly revealing looks in the past. Although Sweeney pulls it off beautifully, reluctance from onlookers to praise the outfit has less to do with styling than it does the messaging about beauty and body standards. No shade to beautiful Sydney, but I'm sad we're seeing more of this ultra-low-rise waist and ultra-flat tummy look again, one person commented on the Instagram post. So coveted yet unachievable for so many of us with different builds.
Sounds like
while she has a piece of fucking cheesecake in her hand.
I mean,
watch body positivity go down the drain once the low rise fashion takes over again, and low rise never again. Young generations, learn from the past. Don't ruin your body, wrote two others.
There's more people wanting to have sex with that than chubby girls. I mean.
Similar sentiments have been expressed by body acceptance advocates who have watched the micro miniskirts comeback via Miu Miu after the high fashion brand put the itty bitty skirts on its runway in Paris in October. Well, Miu Miu sounds like an Asian brand. And what's one thing about Asian women? They're fucking skinny.
Finger lasers.
Miu Miu Miu. They're fucking skinny.
Yeah.
So they're for skinny women and
their
show
diets
off.
Are better.
Yeah. After the high fashion brand put the itty-bitty skirts on its runway in Paris in October. The trend is among others from the early 2000s that have seen a resurgence, however it is seemingly the most exclusive. This set is created with this very thin body in mind. It's not created for plus, and so that in itself is frustrating. Gianluca Russo, co-founder of The Power of Plus, previously told Yahoo Life, "A lot of it too feels very glorifying of a body type that we've been working against actively for many years now. The body type is very reminiscent of the early 2000s, when we had all these big conversations about anorexia and fashion and bulimia, how these models were treated back in the day, which is not great, and for a lot of people it feels triggering."
Well, they're far from anorexic, like that Sydney Sweeney. Mm-hmm. She has a muscular... a fit.
Yeah,
build.
Yeah.
It's not anything...
But they don't like it because it's not fur.
Alright, I'll put it to you this way. Right now, with the pills I'm having to take for my anti-rejections and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I may not have to keep taking it, but they make me gain a lot of weight.
Oh, really?
Now, at this point, I wouldn't expect a woman to just, I'm so in love with them.
Right.
And, you know, they want to fuck a certain physique.
Right, yeah.
And look for certain qualities. Those are things that can be changed. Now... I'm not expecting to date someone and then like, oh man, all right, I'm going to jump your bones right now. Because I wouldn't look at someone and like, oh, you obvious. I'm not saying I don't put in the work, but I've been restricted by doctor's orders and all this.
Right.
But when I do get in it, it's going to reflect more on... I have my strong worth ethic.
Mm-hmm.
I do have, you know, I'm driven. That's what a lot of that in shape tells me when I see women. Like, oh, well, they're driven enough that they're going to work to be the best them they can be.
Right.
And that's hot to me. Chubby girls, I mean, they're fun sometimes. But they better have a hell of a personality, and that these bulimic bitches, they're making us look
right.
That yeah, keep feeling sorry for yourself. See how many guys want to stick their dick in that. It's not going to work.
Tyler McCall, editor-in-chief of Fashionista.com, also analyzed the trend in her social media early March, writing that it reminds me of the thin-at-any-cost mentality of the aughts. According to reactions to Sweeney's look, the fixation and idolization of that specific body type remains. Sexy skinny, one person wrote in response to her look. Love the abs and hips, another commented. Although the low-rise skirt isn't at fault for the praise of Sweeney's figure, which looks amazing here, by the way, the instance lends itself to a larger conversation about the trend and the ways it represents fat phobia in the fashion industry, according to Russo. She was praised for her figure.
I mean,
yeah.
Good night. I'd eat at that buffet.
And still operating on the same model, which is to let trends be dictated by people who are thin and then let it trickle down until it reaches size inclusivity rather than letting a plus-size body like Paloma or Precious Lee and Ashley Graham and all of them help lead the trends, he explained, noting that micro minis aren't only styled on slim bodies but also remain exclusively accessible for that body type. Exclusively, yeah, okay. You would hope it would come back in a new inventive way, and I think the way it came back was so reminiscent of the way it started, and that's kind of this exclusionary model. As a result, consumers are already worried about making their body fit into this trending styles rather than finding clothes that fit their bodies. Millennials currently having a collective panic attack at the prospect of fitting back in the low-rise bottoms and crop tops, one person wrote. We've been through it. Let's not bring it back, another pled. Well, look, the thing is, look, we don't want you to bring this shit back where it's like...
skeletons.
No! No, I'm not talking about that. They're like, they want to bring this shit back. Like, yeah, we'll make micro minis for fat people. So the big old belly just sticks right out.
Lord, there's nothing worse.
That's like a fat guy cosplaying Sailor Moon.
I mean, if you're trying to promote at big women are hot, that is hurting your cause,
it's
women everywhere. I'm telling
work.
You. I mean, I wouldn't get out and, you know, a mid-drift with my, I guess, team number on it.
Oh, like, God. I
you
think
gotta
I've
find
seen,
the acceptable.
I think
else.
I've seen SNL skits like that. That reminds me
Will
of
Ferrell.
Movies and shit.
Do you remember the Will Ferrell sketch where he's in the office on Casual Friday and he's in like a bikini, American flag bikini, and a mid-drift with the sleeves cut off? And he's bending over in front of people, and his body is not in shape at all. And people are like, "Ah, where are those?"
That's all gone, man. The fucking people were decent and would tell you anything. It's all that America's fucking gone.
These women are trying to make everyone go against their biology,
right?
Like, it is not sick that we lack women that take care of their bodies.
Right.
I mean, that's just natural. That means, oh, well, they're going to... I mean, biologically, it means, oh, they're going to produce children and be strong enough to survive having them, probably. But, you know, big women, they slide right out.
Oh, man. Okay. Albany, New York. According to court officials, Albany City Court was closed on Tuesday for fumigation, listen to this, after hundreds of cockroaches were released during a court procedure. Hundreds of cockroaches.
I heard about that.
The incident occurred Tuesday morning during an arraignment of four people where one of the defendants began to record court proceedings. We're told that a fight escalated and cockroaches were then released from plastic containers. Kleana Lightborn, 34, was charged with disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, criminal contempt, tampering with physical evidence. Lucian Chalfin, Director of Public Information of the Unified Court System, said that an investigation to the incident is underway and more people may be charged. What transpired is not advocacy or activism. It is criminal behavior with the intent to disrupt a proceeding and cause damage. Prosecution and restitution for the cost of the cleanup as taxpayers shouldn't fit the bill for these actions, said Chalfin.
Uh-huh.
It's unclear who released the cockroaches and how this person managed to bring them inside the court. We're told the court would reopen on June 8th.
Okay.
Yes, it says. David Soares, Albany County District Attorney, says the Office of the Albany County District Attorney is aware of this morning's incident involving the reported release of several dozen insects into the courthouse. Court proceedings were moved to a virtual format in the immediate aftermath, and an exterminator was brought in to clear the area. While the incident remains under investigation, the Office of the District Attorney would like to emphasize that, while the right to protest is protected, we oppose the disruption of court proceedings and the apparent display of disrespect shown to the court.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, we've got another one here. We've got another one here. Look at this. More to explore. Look at this. This also happened. I wonder how recent this is. No, that was a couple of months ago. Okay.
Yeah, that one about the roaches was a recent one.
That was recent.
I've heard that.
There's something about a woman selling meth, but that was in May. So they got her. That's old news. Okay, now this was interesting. I don't think... We might have done the cockroaches. If we did do the cockroaches, we're sorry. But we're going to do this one. Ever wanted to be Black Joker? Well, this person definitely wanted to be, because there's an OSHA investigating accident that left two people trapped in a chocolate tank at Mars Wrigley.
Uh-oh, that sounds like blackface. You better skip that.
OSHA says it is investigating after two people became trapped in a chocolate tank at the Mars Wrigley Confectionery Facility in Elizabethtown on Thursday. OSHA says the workers did not fall in the tank, as was originally reported. Officials say the two workers were performing maintenance inside the tank when they became trapped and had to be rescued. Emergency dispatch confirms that two people have been rescued after falling into a tank filled with chocolate. At the Mars Wrigley Confectionery Facility in Elizabethtown, the two people were both taken to the hospital.
When April showers, never remember.
Oh, man, I thought they were both trying to become Chocolate Joker, become the Black Joker. Here you go, that's how you do it.
Mexican Joker!
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. It was not going where I thought it would.
Let's see, here we got another one. Okay.
Was it white chocolate?
I don't know.
Or were they black?
We don't know. Workers? It doesn't say.
It doesn't explain how it's a Black Joker.
Well, if you fall into chocolate and the chocolate is brown,
oh,
you're going
a negative
to
Joker.
Be a,
like the negative from a film strip.
A brown Joker. Young women are turning away from feminism in Japan.
They should.
The writer Raiden Bell published a personal article describing that the feminism movement in Japan would be losing the support of young women, especially since they attack groups of their own sex, such as women with large breasts, which are our part in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I like some big breasts. I like any kind of
breasts. Attacked entertainment based on moe culture, which other women also consume. Absolutely. Okay. In 2019, Yuki Takahashi, a sociology and gender researcher and part-time professor at Musashi University, like Brave Fencer Musashi, and other universities, published an article in Gendai Business online titled "The True Nature of Discomfort Young Women Have Having They Abandon Feminism." Okay, that's just what it says. Ms. Takahashi repeated these arguments during a recent symposium in 2021. Takahashi claims that the disengagement of young women with feminism is due to a misunderstanding of feminism, and that they can really go hand in hand, but I would like to conclude that this is impossible. First of all, I am part of the big-breasted women group. Yay! Big titties. And a lover of moe culture. Boom! Look at that. She loves moe and big titties. I've got games that are moe with big titties. At the very least, self-described feminists on social media have actively targeted previous groups for bashing and eventual cancellation. Regarding the first group specifically, when the images distributed by Saya Akane as free material was used in advertisements, there were usual attacks by feminists whose profiles advocated gender equality and the elimination of gender discrimination. They pointed out the content was inappropriate because it highlights her breasts and image material that companies should not use. However, as you can see, there is no exposure, and instead of emphasis, it simply shows the natural size of her own breasts. It wouldn't be a surprise if he went outside in normal clothes in this, and if he went outside in normal clothes. In this regard, Saya Akane, she said of the words and actions of some feminists, aren't they crushing diversity in an attempt to embrace diversity? It is a very moderate expression of doubt and opinion as a party. Yep. He did not use foul language, nor did he excessively blame feminists. However, the beating he received against Saya Akane was terrible. Some of the Twitter posts were nothing more than discrimination against women with large breasts and malicious accusations, such as, you can even have your breasts reduced surgically, but not doing so is selling your sex, and Akane Saya eats a lot of oysters and is doing dad's job. What? It also flared up again sometime after the riot, with abusive epithets being hurled at Saya Akane, including that she is a typical penis-loving woman without honor, and that she is trying to take advantage of...
I love a typical penis-loving woman.
Where do these... We sign up for these.
Where are these in America?
She is trying to take advantage of men's sexual desires. The reality is that not a few of those who call themselves or other feminists are complicit directly or indirectly in this beating of big-breasted women. More recently, there was also the slander issue against Heart Closet President Mizuki Kurosawa, which was discussed in the past. Also regarding the Uzaki-chan blood donation poster, which became a hot topic shortly after the ruckus, Junko Iwabuchi has declared that big breasts are deformed and associated with mental disability. What? Which has caused strong protests from real women with big breasts. Whether he, she, they are real or true feminists is not the question at this point. If we see that the statements are made by recognized feminists, and that there are no criticisms, rather they are usually affirmations, of stories considered important to feminists, it is reason enough to move away from feminism. Among the targets of feminist attacks is moe culture. Apparently the perception that moe culture equals macho culture has taken root, especially among older generations, and is considered a safe target for attack. However, moe culture involves a large number of women, both creators and consumers. First of all, 70% of manga artists are women. What? Did you know that? I didn't. 70%?
That sounds...
Man, even hentai mangas.
That sounds great.
In another survey, the ratio of illustrators by age shows that the majority of manga artists are young women in their 20s and 30s. So, you know, they call us, oh, you hate women! Most of the fucking manga and hentai and all this shit is made by women! The stuff we consume is made by women. Yet, for some odd reason, we here in the manosphere just absolutely abhor women. But, oh, yeah. My God. But I've bought so much manga. I've bought so much hentai stuff that has women's voices in it that consent to doing, that enjoy doing this shit.
You know, in college, there were quite a few women. That's almost the only art style they would do is...
in the anime.
Anime, mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if they were griped at by the teacher, well, that's just the style I want to do everything in. And the teacher's like, well... Just join the generic hundreds.
Okay, check this out, guys. What I'm saying is going to be reinforced 1000-fold. Some data shows that 70% of manga artists are women. Listen to this. Furthermore, more than 500 female artists have been identified in the adult manga industry, which may account for around 60% of adult manga artists. Most of the fucking that you're going on the doujins, that you're going looking at all your doujins. Oh, you gotta go show me that. You know, they always talk about what number is this. And they always, that's women. Women are, you are fapping to stuff made by women. So how do you fucking hate women if you are actively fucking seeking out content that they have made and that you are jacking off to? There's no greater fucking praise as far as I'm concerned.
Nothing wrong with that.
Although we were unable to find data on the proportion of men and women in the moe culture fan base in a comprehensive survey, we did find that the fan base of Love Live and the Idolmaster, which are often considered male-oriented games, have a fairly high number of female fans. Yes! And you act like this shit is a mystery! Oh, where are all the women? I was just looking at a post from a guy on GOG who said, women don't, and then he put, rarely play adult games. No, go fuck yourself. He said, they play mostly romance games, and all the forums and stuff will show you that. Okay, sure, they play romance. They love the BL, though, and they love drawing all the shit you're jacking off to. Because if 60% of adult manga artists are women, then chances are some or most of the manga that you're beating your meat to is made by a woman.
Yeah.
That says something. Of course, not all writers perform in a moe style, and we must rule out that this is a biased survey. However, it cannot be said that the creators and consumers of moe culture are rare and exceptional. In particular, it seems reasonable to assume that among young women who are said to be moving away from feminism, there are many creators and consumers involved in moe culture. In other words, criticizing moe culture is almost directly an attack on these women. Feminists argue that they only ask for regularization in TPO, time, place, and occasion, not prohibition. However, regularization means that there would be far fewer opportunities for activity from this culture. It threatens the economic base of the writer and the fans who expect his work. Regularization is only a last resort when it is unavoidable. Anyone who knows a little bit about the situation of the creator sector knows that regularization is not a moderate measure or anything like that. Must be applied with care, limiting yourself to obvious depictions of adult content. If the compelling reasons can be explained rationally enough, fine. However, the real attacks were on things like Yuzaki-chan's blood donation poster and the Love Lives Sunshine, which barely show any skin. And the Love Lives Sunshine is something we've seen in, like, visual novels. I think there's probably a visual novel for that game. If the scope of the attack is known, the creators and fans of moe culture would not support the claims of feminism that regulates expression. Let me repeat my personal story. I am a female supporter with big breasts and a supporter of moe culture. I am a person who has the same physical characteristics that feminism has been reliably hitting as a history and fan of moe culture. What exactly is the misunderstanding, as you call it, Yuki Takahashi, of the thrashing that has been done against women with big breasts and moe culture? Nothing is a misunderstanding. It is a fact, right? Almost all of them are registered. Nor, to my knowledge, has any publicly known feminist scholar or policymaker called for an end to these caustic feminist swipes. In fact, they have been complicit in the bashing of girl groups, even implicitly and explicitly affirming the calls of men of honor and cocky women. The reasons why young girls turn away from feminism are simple. Because there are reasons to oppose and there are no reasons to agree. Because it does not represent our interests. It's because it takes away our enjoyment. That's coming from a woman with big breasts who loves moe culture and representing all those great women in our hentai industry. Yeah. Let's clap for them right now. The manosphere, the hentai, whatever you want to call it, there's more women in this than we thought. And you guys are jacking off to them. Well, all the pictures, everything, you guys, it's all being a lot of that.
They probably are kind of women anyway.
Yeah. Probably are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We got another one. This is weird, but I don't know if I believe it. We'll see. The New York Post may be giving us bullshit. Come on. Okay. Any day now. Why having a beer gut may actually be good for you. Recent research could give a new meaning to the term beer gut. Beer may join red wine among vices with a healthy edge, as a new study revealed that a lager a day, whether alcoholic or not, could help keep the gastroenterologist away, for men at least. Really? The findings published in the American Chemical Society's Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry show that men who drank one lager each day had a more diverse colony of healthy gut microbes compared to measurements taken before the daily beer regimen. Previous studies have showed that a more robust gut microbiome, the bacteria, viruses, and fungi that live there, leads to a lower risk of developing certain chronic issues such as heart disease and diabetes. Humans are packed with trillions of microorganisms in the gastrointestinal tract alone, which serves many biological functions, including immune defense. Results from this study show that drinking beer increases gut bacterial diversity without significantly changing body weight, said lead author Anna Faria, professor at Nova University in Lisbon, Portugal, according to the Sun. Faria's team enlisted 19 men ages 23 to 58 to drink a 330-milliliter bottle of 5% Superbock, a Portuguese-European-style pale lager, or a non-alcoholic swap, each day. All the participants considered themselves regular drinkers and had no serious health concerns during the trial. They were surprised to find that even the alcoholic brew, too much of which can potentially wreak havoc on the gut, proved beneficial in moderate amounts. The research suggests that the fermentation process in beer making, which produces microorganisms of its own, as well as the presence of micronutrients like polyphenols, could be the catalyst behind the male participants' blooming gut health. Beer is the main and probably only source of hop polyphenols in the human diet, said Faria. Hops also contain xanthohumol, which studies suggest lowers the risk of chronic diseases, including obesity and diabetes. The U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommends adult men consume fewer than 2 alcoholic drinks per day and half as many for women. Nevertheless, there are safer ways to build up your microbiome, such as eating foods rich in prebiotics and probiotics, including kimchi, Greek yogurt, I do eat Greek yogurt, and many fruits and vegetables, as well as avoiding sugar, artificial sweeteners, and yes, binge drinking. Let's see. Okay. Oh my god. Now we got another crazy one.
Oh yeah.
We've only just begun. Savage monster accused of decapitating pregnant ex-girlfriend, throwing head in dumpster. What? A pregnant Illinois woman was decapitated at her home where her head was discovered in a dumpster and her ex-boyfriend has been charged in a brutal murder, authorities said. DeAndre Holloway, 22, was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder and the death of Leah Dodd, also 22, whose remains were found Thursday in her Alton home, in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported. He also was hit with 2 counts of intentional homicide of an unborn child, dismembering a human body, concealment of homicide, and possessing a stolen vehicle. The head of the nearly 8 months pregnant woman was found in a dumpster outside his apartment, according to the newspaper. What was learned, what was found is absolutely terrible, Alton Police Chief Marcos Polito said, the Post-Dispatch reported. She was decapitated by a freaking savage monster. Dodd's mother, Heidi Noel, discovered the horrific scene on Boulevard Street when she went to check on her Thursday after she had not heard from the woman who was expecting her first child, a baby girl, on July 27th. The family had reportedly been planning a shower for the baby, whose wish list included a pink princess crib sheet. Officials have not said if the murder suspect, who Polito said had an on-and-off relationship with Dodd for about 2 years, was the unborn baby's father. But the grief-stricken mother told the news here that Holloway was not the father. Noel described Dodd as a bright, loving soul with a beautiful smile. She was just a bright light that cared for everyone. She had a big heart. She'd do anything for anyone. She'd go out of her way to help people. She attended college and was planning on going in the medical field. I'm a nurse, and so she was heading in that direction, she said. We are planning our baby shower for the end of this month. I just sent out invitations the prior Saturday for the baby shower. We were just excited and gathering the items you need to have a baby, Noel continued. She wasn't set on a name yet. She said my little bean, so we essentially were calling the baby bean, she added. Noel told the news here that she had been checking on her daughter every day because of the tumultuous nature of her relationship with Holloway, and decided to head over to the apartment because there was quite a time span that she hadn't responded to me. The suspect, who lives on South Jefferson Street in Litchfield, was arrested Thursday afternoon by Gillespie Police in connection with the unrelated case, a bicycle theft. 30 minutes from the murder scene, the Post-Dispatch reported. This guy was definitely a fucking Tyrone. Police arrested Holloway based on a description provided by the bike's owner. The man was combative and uncooperative at the police station, where he also tried to bang his head against a wall. What? Holloway, who refused to provide his name, was booked into a jail as John Doe, according to the Pope, who said the theft suspect had no blood on his clothes or any other marks that would suggest he had been involved in a far worse crime. But jail officials soon realized that the man was wanted in a brutal murder. Holloway had no convictions for assault or other violence, according to the Post-Dispatch, but he did rob a friend of cash 3 years ago on the way to buy marijuana, Macoupin County State's Attorney John Garrison told the paper. He was sentenced to 2 years probation in order to pay $900 in restitution, according to the report. Litchfield Police Chief Kenny Riker told the outlet that the suspected had a few traffic cases in the town of about 7,000, but the police didn't have frequent encounters with him. Dodd's mother expressed relief that the accused killer has been charged. I'm glad he's off the streets, and that my big hope is that he's no longer able to do this to anyone else. she said, adding that she is planning a celebration of life for Dodd and her baby. I truly appreciate the support, and I just wish she would have known how loved she was, she told the outlet. That she wouldn't have ever been alone, and that she could have gotten out of this relationship and had a full life, Noel added. But, yep, white girl has to get with Tyrone, and she paid the cold toll.
The cold toll?
The cold toll. HMT in your state, brother. Yep. Okay, got another one here. We're on June 16th. We're getting there.
It's getting closer.
We're not there yet. TikTok star says a ranch wouldn't allow... Don't look at that. I'm looking at the time. That's okay. Ahead.
Okay.
TikTok star says a ranch wouldn't allow her to ride their horses due to her weight.
Oh, I've heard that one.
Remy Bader, a TikTok star known for her realistic clothing haul videos, claimed that during a recent trip with other influencers, a ranch wouldn't allow her to ride her horses due to her weight. Bader, who has more than 2 million followers on TikTok, was in Montauk, New York, with other influencers on a trip organized by the company Hampton Water Wine over the weekend when she said she was turned away. In her initial TikTok post on Saturday, Bader showed a video of the ranch with a text over it saying, "Shout out to Deep Hollow Ranch in Montauk for making me leave because I weigh over 240.
Yeah.
Man, that horse can't handle all that.
They don't want to have to put down their horse after you ride it.
The caption reads, "I've rode horses before and have never had this issue." She asked them to advertise on their signs in the future. Deep Hollow Ranch did not immediately respond to requests for comment via phone and email. The ranch itself appears to have two websites, one of which is a blog it shares a link on its Facebook page. On the blog, there's a guide to how much weight a horse can carry.
Yeah.
The guide states a rider should not be more than 15% of the horse's weight. There's also a list of options for the best horse breeds for plus-size riders. On the ranch's other, like the Budweiser ones. On the ranch's other website, there is no information on the horses or weight restrictions. Just information on the services offered in the background of the ranch itself. Bader, who has been candid about a recent outpatient treatment for binge eating disorder, declined to... Binge eating disorder? Is that when they're just like, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to eat... That's what they're calling it now?
I'm sorry, it's a disorder.
It's a disorder, I just got to, yeah. Declined to comment further on
the incident. Stop eating this Twinkie, but the disease is getting the best of me.
In a follow-up post shared on her Instagram story Sunday, Bader wrote that she'd never want to hurt a small business. But she said she was shocked by the way one of the ranch employees spoke to her and felt compelled to share her experience. "I posted for a reason, and that's not because of me being denied to ride the horses. I get it. Some places have weight requirements, and I never want to hurt the horses, but it was the way I was spoken to and laughed at by the owner and the way I was treated overall," she wrote. Bader said her negative experience was supported later by a video posted by a ranch employee who made very clear that they did not want me there because of my weight. "That's very disappointing," she wrote on her Instagram. In a second TikTok, she stitched herself reacting to a video posted by another user who is a Deep Hollow Ranch confirmed in a Facebook post as a teenage employee. In the video, the TikTok user uses a derogatory term for a plus-size person. "When you're not a fat bitch, you can ride at Deep Hollow Ranch," he says in response to one of Bader's video comments. "Imagine this being Deep Hollow Ranch's response to your experience," Bader wrote in response. The original video has since been deleted. In a statement posted to its Facebook, Deep Hollow Ranch responded to the TikTok video, saying, "No way represents nor is aligned with the views that the owners of the ranch hold." The ranch did not mention the TikTok user by the name, but broadly apologized to anyone who this offended. Hampton Water Wine Co., which had organized a weekend of festivities for influencers, said it was outraged by how Bader was treated. "We will not work with Deep Hollow Ranch again and do not condone any of the events that followed," the co-founder of Hampton Water Wine Co. said in a statement. They also declined to provide additional comment.
Now, you can tell as big of a deal she's making about
it.
She was making a big deal about it when they said she couldn't ride it because of the weight limit. So...
The ranch has since received backlash online, including on its website and Yelp page, where many commented their response to Bader's claim. Bader, who said that she is very public about her struggles with self-acceptance, said, "Incidents like this make those struggles a greater challenge. I will never understand why my size could actually bother someone so much," she wrote in her Instagram story. "I really never will." Okay.
Hey.
try to be the best you and lose a couple of
Now, our final story for tonight. This is the one I was trying to talk about during the waifu thing, but I ran out of battery. The company behind PUBG shows off its hyper-realistic virtual human. Her name is Anna. Krafton is best known for games like PUBG and the upcoming Callisto Protocol, but today it's showing off something very different. The company is teasing a virtual human named Anna, which it says will help establish its Web3 ecosystem. The character was built using Unreal, which itself has a tool specifically for realistic digital people, along with what Krafton describes as hyper-realism, rigging, and deep learning. It's not clear exactly how Anna will fit into the loosely defined version of a metaverse or Web3, though Krafton has flirted with NFTs and the blockchain in the past. In the meantime, it sounds like its realistic virtual human will instead attempt to become something of a celebrity. We expect her to attract the interest and popularity of Gen Z around the world, Joshyoken Shin, head of Krafton's Creative Center, said in a statement. Anna will release an original music track and expand her scope of activity as an influencer into various areas across entertainment and esports. The type of virtual influencer isn't a new concept, of course, and these digital characters have previously made their way in everything from music videos to video games and IKEA installations, not to mention social networks like Instagram and TikTok. Krafton, though, seems to be betting that a focus on technology would make its character stand out and avoid the demise of ill-fated virtual beings like the star of Final Fantasy Spirits Within. Krafton says it will release more details on Anna later in the year, including a unique story arc. Who knows? Maybe she'll work her way into a sweeping fantasy epic. Well, that's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have some more for you guys later.
Yeah.
But right now, we're going to go ahead and end it. We thank you guys for joining us, and it's been great. We did an interview, we did this, and we want to thank our sponsor, Revy Innovations and the Spinning Robot Pussy. If you haven't got one, get one today.
Oh, yeah.
DP says it's better than a doll, so if you have a doll, it's going to be great. Definitely check that out. And we also want to thank Phil and the Dollhouse. That's doll-house.com. The-doll-house.com. Check that out for all your doll needs, and then you'll get the spinning robot pussy from Revy Innovations. And then you're ready to go. Maybe you can have a integrated Anya or something like that with your doll and have the whole experience. It's coming soon, folks. Don't worry. At any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I am out. We'll see you next time on the Grim Articles Show. Oh, hold on. We got some chats. Only thing we had to say is damn. HMT in my state. Yes, Invader Tech, we have one. All right, guys, I am out of here.
All right, later.
Enjoy the decline.